because I want them and they want them and he wants them to be fundamentalists, learning the Word of God. I'm excited about it. So if your teenagers come back and they want you to be right, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 18. I tell you what, I'm having a time on Sunday mornings in Sunday school. If you folks miss it, I would to God you could come. I very seldom give plugs for my own stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is a wonderful topic to learn about. And I'm having a time in there now. And if you could come, I tell you, I don't think you'd be worse off for it. I know it's early in the morning. We had time change Sunday today. I was impressed with the crowd. Time change Sunday. We still have a lot of folks there, so please come if you can to learn about that Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you this morning. We're going to read the Bible first, and then I'll give you the title. But if we could all stand together, Luke chapter 18. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." This is why he spake the parable. "That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless," listen to this, folks, "nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" The title of the message today is, "When he comes, what will he find?" Let's pray this morning. Brother Bobby, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please. Amen. Thank you. If the question doesn't at least pique your curiosity, the question has got to get in your heart at least of something that is very profound. Let me ask you a question. In this verse, there's two things that I see, and we could talk this morning about prayer. We could. And we could talk about prayer and the importunistic prayer person. The person that never gives up on their prayer. The person that never gives up on what they're asking God for. The person that never gives up, no matter what the prayer request is, that never gives up until that prayer is answered, until the Lord gives them what they're looking for. And it may be God says no, it may be God says wait, but nevertheless, the person prays and prays and prays and prays and never stops praying. In my personal opinion, the reason that we fail in our prayer lives is because we fail to pray. That's the bottom line. There is no in-between. There is no a halfway prayer. You either do or you don't. And if you get something that means enough to you and you pray and pray and pray and pray until God does something, eventually he says, okay. Sometimes I wonder if God's just wondering how long you'll think of him before you give up on him. Sometimes I wonder, and I'll just give you an example using myself again. In my house, and you guys are all like this, so I know I'm not alone in this boat. In my house, there's repairs that need to be made. Josh is now a homeowner. You get to live this, buddy. By the way, Josh's home is beautiful. If you ever get a chance, you all ought to go over there for dinner. He cooks wonderful. Don't even tell him you're coming. Just show up. But I'm going to tell you right now, in my house, I've got repairs that need to be made. And they need to be made for a long time. And for some reason, us guys don't ever want to get to them. I know none of you other guys are like that, although your wives disagree with me right now. But in our homes, there's repairs that need to be made, and after a while, you get those repairs made. But you know, there's always that little Holy Spirit voice in the background telling you about the repair that needs to be made. Well, my Holy Spirit voice is my wife. She lets me know that repairs need to be made. It's okay. But I wonder if in your life that Holy Spirit voice hasn't told you there's repairs that need to be made in your prayer life. You know, the other day I came to prayer meeting. We were so excited because we had 9 men show up. You could take that 2 ways. Thank God we had 9. Or where were the 90? As I look at this, I want to ask you, we're not going to talk about prayer tonight, but what a wonderful thing to start on. When is the last time you prayed for that special prayer request that you have? Did you give up on it? My loved one's never going to get saved, so why pray? You give up on that? You give up on, man, I would to God that my life would get right, or I'd read through my Bible. Did you give up on your prayer request? Don't give up on your prayer request. Don't give up on your prayer. I said, don't give up on your prayer request. Keep praying to God. Well, he gave me the answer. How do you know he gave you the answer? If you didn't get the answer that God gave you, not sure, keep praying to God. Keep talking to him. Specifically, tell him. He wants you to talk to him. But we're not talking about that today. See, I want to ask you a question. In this last verse that I read, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, setting all that aside, when the Son of Man cometh, let's just focus on that for one moment. Do you know that Jesus is really coming? No, don't you amen me. Do you know that Jesus Christ is coming? Let me tell you something. I liken my dad. Used to let me stay home sometimes. My mom and dad would go home, and here I'd be home alone. My mom is here, so I'm going to, whatever. Mom, you're going to have to hear this and get mad at me later. They would go out, and I was old enough to stay at home. They weren't leaving me home at 6 or 7 years old. I was old enough. And they had this stereo. And they would leave, and I couldn't wait. No offense. But they would leave, and I would take the records. You kids don't know what records are. Records. They look like CDs, but they're about this big, and there's no pretty colors on them. There's black. And when you turn them on, they don't sound real good. But we loved them. And I would take that record, and I'd put it on the stereo, and you kids have never done this, and please, I'm just letting you know what I did. And I would turn that stereo up real loud, and I'd let that thing roll. And I'd be so excited, the house to myself, going all through the house, excited. Until my dad would come home. I tell you the story often about how I lit our shed on fire. And my worry was Dad would find out. Although Dad didn't spank me near as hard as my mother. I think you were borderline abusive. Where are you? She wonders why she never had any wooden mixing spoons. She'll lie to you and said she never used them on me, but I'm telling you right now, she used them on me and she was good at it. She would light my hind end on fire and I'd hide them. I'd go into the drawer when I wasn't in trouble, feel around for them and grab those spoons and I'd hide them. Where's my wooden mixing spoon? I don't know, but I'm not getting hit with that one. And I would do something wrong, and I'd be worried about when Daddy come home. You know, I look at our lives sometimes, Brother Bobby. I will look at myself. Am I really worried that Jesus is coming back? When Jesus comes back, because he's coming, wouldn't it be wonderful if it was right now? While I'm preaching, glory to God, every preacher's dream. Die in the pulpit. Wait a minute. Die in the pulpit, holding the word of God, with the boots on, praise the Lord, I'm working for Jesus Christ, die right. If it really happened, you'd be like, is he coming now? You know what's going to happen? The rapture's going to happen. I say this about Baptists all the time. The rapture's going to happen. We're going to be going up. If you're saved, are you, man, if you're saved, this is coming. This is coming. Jesus is going to take us up out of here. He's going to, out of here, hopefully during winter. Out of here, in the midst of trudging through the snow. Come up hither. I thank God for that. Shooting up, and we'll be looking at each other. Man, this is really happening. Do you know that he's coming? No, he's coming. I want to tell you right now, he's coming. He's coming soon, and he's going to get us up out of here, and we're going to go to heaven forever. Boy, you said that like you almost meant it. You're going to start walking streets of gold. To be the first time we ever heard you say anything in church. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm excited about the Lord coming. I can't wait until he comes. And then I think of the other side. But have I done everything I'm supposed to do? And if he came right now, would he find me playing my stereo too loud? Would he find me lighting my shed on fire? Would he find me doing something that I ought not do? Because he is coming. I said he is coming. And I cannot wait until the rapture happens. And I love the thought of his appearing. Because it's not just a fairy tale. I mean, we talk about it, we preach about it, but do we believe that it's coming? If you look at this world, can you imagine him waiting much longer? We're nuts down here. We're nuts down here. The people we're putting in office, the things that we're allowing to happen. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you heard about abortion? Do you know why? Because we're too busy worried about everything else. Boy, the devil's good. Somebody help me. And as I read this verse, the Lord is telling us, he doesn't say, if he shall come. It doesn't say, maybe the Son of Man cometh. What it says is, when the Son of Man cometh. He is coming. When he comes, what will he find? Now understand this. I know that you're going to get a little Pharisaical on me and say, well, he knows everything, Brother Dave. There's nothing that ever occurred to him. I'm asking you. I'm not asking him. It's like the teacher says, what's 2 + 2? And the student looks back, well, you're the teacher. You tell me. Let me tell you something. Most of our teachers already know that answer. That was funny. They were thinking about you when I said that, by the way. Most of our teachers know that answer. They ask it to the student to teach him. The Lord, what's he going to find? The Lord's going to come down here. Let me ask you, and I'm going to give us a little bit of rah-rah here. Because I believe with all my heart that we are in an above-average church. I believe we're in a fantastic church. I believe we're in the best church in the whole wide world. I really do. I believe the Lord's coming down. I believe revival's beginning. I believe the Bible's being upheld. I believe the Savior's waited on. And I believe we're doing the right things. What will he find? Will he find ministries? Excuse me. Well, think about Bethel for a minute. When he comes back, somebody from our church is going to be doing something. Right? I mean, does the sun ever set on what Bethel Baptist Church does? You say, I'm going to hold on to this. My voice is leaving me. You're probably happy. I want you to think about this for a minute. First of all, we support missionaries around the globe. Okay? Can I ask you a question? Does the sun truly set on the ministry of Bethel Baptist Church? Now, the reason we can say that is because we support worldwide missions. We support ministries. We have ministries everywhere. We've got the jail ministry. We've got the senior ministry. We've got the teenagers going to Kentucky. Good Lord, if the Lord would come back, he's going to have a hard time pulling the members of Bethel Baptist Church from all parts of the world. We're everywhere. We are doing things. By the way, I count the missionaries that we have as part of us. our hands, us sending out the lifeline and giving our money. And boy, have you seen our offerings? Good night, Bethel. Somebody in this church has money. Over $10,000 out of a handful of people. God bless your hearts. Seems like the Lord's working. I don't know. Those of you who have money, please meet me in the front row here right after church. When he comes, what will he find? He'll find ministries, but that's not what the question is. He'll find ministries. We're excited about that, but that's not what the question is. Number two, will he find soul winning? You know, I think he could find more of it. I really do. He that winneth souls is wise. And we call it soul warning because let me help you out. You are not winning the soul. You're not doing. You're warning the soul. Christ is winning the soul. But we tell them about Christ. So that way we get the credit. Praise the Lord. And by the way, I was just told that one of our soul winners, soul warners, whatever you want to call them, led an 80-year-old lady to Christ just yesterday. Amen. Did you know you had a part in that? See, that's your ministry. You say, well, I didn't lead them. Yes, you did. It counts to every one of us, Bethel. We're a group here. I worry about the fella that comes up in front of you and says, well, I won 75,000 people to Christ this last week. First of all, you're lying. Thank you. You got my New Testament and saw my front flap had 65,000 names on it is what you saw. Praise the Lord. I'll sign your Bible later if you want to. Praise the Lord. I worry that we forget the rest of us. I worry. Well, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I worry about that because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm of nobody. I'm of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let me explain something to you. I know and I'll give him full credit that preacher has taught me everything I know. But understand this, it was God working through him that taught me. And you better get right with God and understand that Christ is the one teaching you, not the man. And I'm going to tell you right now, and he'd wring my neck if I didn't say this. If he gets off that Bible, I'm off of him. I'm not in anybody's camp. I'm in Jesus Christ's camp. I'm not of Bob Gray. I'm not of Jack Hiles. I'm not of Lester Roloff. I'm not of Billy Sunday. And all those are great men. I'm thankful for every one of them. But I'm not in their camp. I'm in Jesus Christ's camp. Do we have soul winning? Sure we do. We need more of it, but we do have it. Hey, I had the opportunity to preach to 5 different types of churches in a sports awards banquet. Joe Sell, did that make a lick of sense? A sports awards banquet? And the man tells me, I want you to preach. At a sports awards banquet? Where else are you going to preach? Praise the Lord. I always have a message. I came there. I couldn't believe it. 125 people. Wouldn't you say about 125 people probably? And I'm going to tell you right now, I gave it everything I had. And they sat there. I had kids coming up and helping me. I had adults. And at the end, I told how wonderful Christ is. He's not asking Mike to give what I can give. He's not asking Mike to give what Josh can give. He's asking Mike to give what Mike can give. Let the Lord have you today. Because you're all the Mike. You're all the Mike that the Lord needs. We keep back a part, don't we? We keep back apart. Will he find soul winning? Will he find somebody willing to put their life on the line to lead somebody else to Christ? Just like somebody put themselves on the line to lead you. Would we be willing to let the Lord find a bunch of soul winners? Glory to God if he would come on a Saturday and you didn't skip. Glory to God if he'd come on a Saturday and we was out knocking on a door. Let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart. Preachers talked about this. I love this thought. You knock on that door, the Lord's getting ready to come back. Person answers the door. Not many people answer the door when I knock. I'm just going to be honest with you. I am a scary individual, and apparently they will never open the door. Open the door, and you tell them about the Lord. Just give me a minute here. Could you imagine a Lord standing on the portals of glory, getting ready to say, come up hither? Angel, get ready to sound that trumpet. You knock on the door. He says, hold on, hold on, hold on. I think we're going to get one more.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Now again, don't get pharisaical on me. He knew that one more was coming.
Right.
But let me explain something to you. I really believe with all my heart that there are souls out there yet to be won. Don't you look at me and you tell me that this world's done getting saved. Don't you tell me that it's sick and tired of the old time religion. No, it isn't. The world is dying, hungering and thirsting and starving for the old time religion. Starving for the old time religion. They want the old fashioned leather lug Baptist preachers again. They want them. They want them. They want them. But there's just so few of us out there anymore. There's so few proclaiming the word of God. And I'm not going to be one that stands on the sideline with the truth. Word of God, holding it up high, and cease my voice.
Amen.
Will he find soul winning? But that's not the question. That's not the question. At Bethel Baptist Church, will he find the right music? You better believe he will. You're not going to find electric guitars up here. You're not going to find a drum set over here. We're not here to have a rock concert.
Amen.
We're here to preach a word.
Amen.
And I love good music. Thankful for the song that Johnny sung. But I'll go ahead and take 4 or 5 minutes of music and 40 or 50 minutes of preaching any day of the week.
Yeah.
Music might get your heart in the right direction, but preaching will send you there.
Yeah.
As long as the preaching's out of the word. Will he find right music? Sure he will, but that's not the question. Will he find standards? I believe he will. I believe he'll find good standards here. But is that the question? Will he find right preaching? Well, I hope so. I hope he will. See, I believe that as long as the man of God stays in the book of God, letting God speak through him, then it's right preaching. See, right preaching is something we've been blessed with. I hear over and over, it thrills my heart. I hear over and over how you won't get a lame duck when you get any of our preachers up here. Every one of our preachers stays in this book. None of our preachers go outside this book. I almost double dog diggly ding dong dare one of these guys to get outside of this book just for one time to see preacher come out of his chair so fast. You think he wouldn't tackle a young man of God up here getting outside of this book? Colton, I dare you. Go ahead. You're a tough, wiry kid, too, I believe. But if preacher came across that podium, guess what would happen to you? Well, you'd get folded, man, alive. That'd be neat. We should have a preacher boy night, preacher, just to let these guys have a shot at it. I'm going to tell you right now, will he find right preaching? I believe he will. But, folks, is that the question? When I look at this verse, I think of a few more things. I think about prayer. Will he find prayer? That's what the whole chapter was talking about. Will he find prayer? Hey, listen, we come out here on Tuesdays, and we come out here on Fridays. I would to God we get more men around this altar. Will he find the altar calling, people giving their lives and making decisions? Will he find the Holy Spirit moving? Will he find the people continuously asking him for the things that they need? Will he find prayer when he comes? Because he's coming. But that's not what the question was. Let's read the verse together. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Shall he find faith on the earth? Boy, you would think that that would be an easy yes, right? But you know what, folks? I believe we give way too much stock in ourselves. I worry that when he comes, and he is coming, will he find the faith that can move mountains? Not the bulldozers, not the backhoes. The faith. You say, well, we've got soul winning. Praise the Lord, but do we have faith? I want to show you a verse in the scriptures, very important, and you need to see this, because as much as I hammer on the Bible and as much as I hammer on the Word of God, and it is the key in all of this, I believe that with all my heart, but I want you to turn over in the book of Hebrews, and believe it or not, I'm almost done. Of course, I've said that before. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. There's a lot of folks that hear the gospel, a lot of folks that will hear the word of God, a lot of folks, and let me tell you, you can't get saved without hearing the word of God. I don't care what any, you can get mad at me all you want to, and I've had more discussions about this with good men. How in the world can they take the Bible and say that you do not have to have the Word of God to let God work in the heart of a person that is unsaved? How is that possible? I don't understand where we think that we can tell them some story about how we got saved at 11 years old next to an old green register. My story is not going to get you saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by, not the word of Brother Dave Bennett, not the word of God of our preacher, the word of God. But, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. See, a lot of things have to happen in a person's salvation. And I know you can put your on one key or on another key of what gets a person saved. But let me tell you something right now. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that took away our sin. Amen? But what if he wasn't born of a virgin? See, we can't have one without the other. He's got to be born of a virgin or the blood's worthless. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What if Joseph was really his daddy? Well, wait a minute. We can't have that. So his father's got to be God. So if God's not his father, can he save us? Do you see? There's a lot of different things that go into somebody getting saved. Amen? They have to have repentance. A lot of people, well, you just tell somebody and they say the prayer and it's all over with. That's not true. They've got to have repentance. They've got to know that they need a Savior before they can get one. They got to realize they're lost before they're ever found. I know this is not popular preaching, but let's not get away from the Bible, shall we? You've got to have the Word of God and you've got to mix the Word of God with faith. I can say the words, but it's not the words that got me saved. It was the faith that I had in what happened that day. It was the faith that I had in Jesus Christ coming down from the portals of glory, living on this putrescent face of the earth in the midst of so much sin, watching the people around him and loving them and watching them hate him, spit on him, beat him, crown of thorns on his head, stripes on his back. Without that, could we be saved? See, it's the faith in that happened. You can hear the words, you can say the words, but it's not the word alone, but it's not without the word. A lot of things had to happen for you to get saved. Could I have gotten saved? Listen to this now. This is good stuff. You act like it's your fault you got saved. If he doesn't go down to Galena Street, I may never get saved. Well, wait a minute. The elect says that the elect. That's how Calvin got his start. You may not know who that is, but that's a fellow that said, we don't need to go soul winning, Brother Bill, because people are going to get saved. They're going to get saved whether we go soul winning or not. That's the biggest load of hooey I've ever heard in my entire life. Go ye therefore to them that I already know they're getting saved, so you don't really have to go. See, we got to understand something. We live in a world today that is trying desperately to close this book. Let's put it where it's at. They're trying to close this book. They're trying to close it because in it contains the knowledge that we need and the way to find faith. So then faith cometh by and hearing by. So the world is trying to close this book, or have you opened a book that's not that book? Because inside of it, see, they work together. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not by this alone. It's mixed with faith. But how do you get the faith? That's really confusing. You've confused me today. It's not confusing. When he comes, what will he find? What will he find? Let me help you. I think one of the most important things that we have done in the recent past is this right here. Not because of this. Not because, by the way, I challenged my college and career class again to keep up. You say, well, they're the ones that bought them. Certainly they'll keep up. Yeah, right. We're all human, remember? This is not easy. You're coming across that now, by the way. I believe that because the woohoo, woohoo, glory to God, I got a Bible calendar. That's all stopped. January and February, you were so excited you couldn't even think. Wow, that's so great. I'm reading more Bible than ever. And now the devil's gotten in. Yeah, come on, stupid. What are you doing? I mean, you're giving up your newspaper. Come on, you're giving up your early morning sports center. Come on now, you're giving up, you're having to wake up a half an hour early to get this read. Now, come on, you don't want to do that. You need your sleep. Where is our faith gone? I'm just asking you, why don't we have that faith anymore? So then faith cometh. How do you get it? Cometh by and hearing by. So if you don't have the Word of God, is it possible that we're getting faith? I'm just asking. When he comes, what will he find? When he comes, will he find all these days marked off? Well, Brother Dave, I'm just going to let you know that I read a chapter a day, and I feel that that is sufficient. Praise the Lord, pea picker. Praise the Lord. Don't overextend yourself. And it only takes, please don't let me belittle it. It only takes a word. If you read a word, it would help you. If you read a verse that would change it, please don't misread me. But if you want the faith that they're asking about, will he find faith? If you want the faith that he's asking about, would you have faith enough to read outside of your bounds? Would you have faith enough to pray outside of your bounds? Will you have faith enough to soul win outside of your bounds? I've heard story after story since the missions conference and Brother Robbie finally stepping on all of our necks about Faith Promise Missions. I've heard story after story after story about people that have gotten money that they didn't know that they were going to get that has allowed them to keep giving to missions the way that they were going to give and the way that they put the card in. Well, let me tell you what I did, and I wasn't going to do this, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyhow. I filled out a card. I filled out two is what I did, and I'm glad I'm the only one that's done this. I filled out a card. I filled out two of them. And I had the first one ready to bring to the church and put in the offering plate. I was quite proud of the card that I filled out. Excited about it. More than I was giving before. But not the number that the Lord put on my heart. Huh? Preacher, I can't believe they don't fire me. I expose myself so many times as all my faults. You need to get rid of me and get another associate pastor. I'm going to tell you that right now. I took the card and I got it close. I didn't put a card in the first night. You know why? Because the Lord wouldn't let me. I said, oh, man. I know that's not the number I'm supposed to write, and I put it back in my pocket. And I went home, and I prayed about it. I didn't fill out the next card right away. I didn't do it. Lacking faith. And I got into my Bible that night, and I started to read verses that had nothing to do with what I was going through. And the Holy Spirit had a knife in my back. And I finally said to myself, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the number you told me to do. I wrote the number on the card and I stuck it in. I told you what happened the first week. A lady had a hairdressing appointment. I preached her father's funeral. She went to the hairdresser. The hairdresser charges a certain amount of money. Hairdresser gave her the money back and said, I want you to give this to somebody in need. She said, okay. I showed up, and apparently I looked needy. Praise the Lord. If that's what it takes to get money, I'll be the most needy person you've ever seen in your entire life. She gave me the money. Can you just take a wild guess at how much it was? Exactly what I wrote on the card. Uh-oh. So I put it in. See, there's the next step, by the way. You got the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because some of you will get that prayer answered and I'll just put it in on Sunday. I tried to get to the plate as fast as possible because I know how irresponsible I am. Woohoo! Out of my hands. But let me tell you something. I have not stopped. God's honest truth. He is so good. God is so good. Will he find faith? When he comes, what will he find? He is so good, Colton. He has given me extra money every single week since. He's covered it. I'm telling you, I know you hear the stories. How many have you ever done that? You sat in the church and you heard the story of the missionaries. Well, I would to God that happened to me. Oh, it happened to him, but he's a preacher. Why are we any different than you? It happened to him, but he's a missionary. Why are we any different? I don't understand. I don't see the difference in the Bible. Every week since, he's given me, and by the way, not just enough, more than enough. Andrea, he's covered it. He's covered his money. Can I help you a little bit? It's not mine. He's covered his money. He told me, Dave, this is what I want you to put in. I let him call me Dave. That was a joke too. Good Lord, you people. This is what I want you to put in. And at first I said, oh, come on, Lord. This is what I need to be putting in, Lord, because really, I how am I going to do it? I can't. I'm figuring out my bill. God, I can't. This is what I can put in. And he wouldn't allow me to do it. He said, no, this is the number I want you to put in. Obey me, you dirty rat. I allow him to call me that too. And when I filled it out, it wasn't 24 hours later that he was covering it.
Amen.
When he comes, what will he find? In the back of my head, it makes me wish I'd have put more on the card. I'd love to see it. I'm excited about watching him do it. I'm excited about watching God fulfill it. You know what our problem is, Brother Coolidge? God fulfills stuff for us all the time, and we don't recognize him for doing it.
Amen.
We don't recognize that God has fulfilled it. When you go by that state trooper 15 miles over the speed limit, and he doesn't pull you over, God was there. Two things, slow down. I say that to you, but I'm not. And I'm the one behind you flashing the lights and honking the horn. When he comes, what's he going to find in you? I've been trying to make it personal. I don't know if you've noticed that lately. I've been trying to make it personal. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're never going to get right with God worrying about somebody else getting right with God. Never one time. I can't get right for you. There's no baptism by proxy. Really, you know there's people that believe that? Sean, your relatives die, you can go get dunked in the tank for them. I've had like 40 of them. Let's just go swimming. I'm going to tell you right now that you can't get right for somebody else. You've got to find your way up here. You got to find your way to get faith. You got to find your way. I can't read the Bible for you. I can't finish this calendar for you. I can't get in the book for you. I can't pray for you. I can't soul win for you. You've got to have faith. And that faith has got to come from you. When he comes, what's he going to find? I look at this verse and it staggers me of the words he uses. Because this is all perfect and true. Is that not correct? I want you to turn back one more time. And I want you to look at this. Because I believe we fit in this category. If you look at this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The last time I checked, the vast majority of us are on the earth. Some of our teenagers are in between there somewhere. Body surfing in the van. That's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Hovering. But Christian, I'm asking you today, when I look at this scripture, I see a dearth. When I look at this scripture, I see a famine. A famine of real faith. Not Joel Osteen faith. Would you quit saying his name, preacher? I love his books. Shut his books. Burn his books. Don't put them in your garage sale and give that putrescence to somebody else. Burn it. Burn a book? Burn it. It's not worth the paper it's written on. And get yourself in this. When he comes, what will he find? I want us to be an outstanding, above board church. I want him to find all the things we mentioned. But all of that will pale to what he's going to find in you. Real, live, old-fashioned, old-time religion, old paths, faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, faith. Because, preacher, I'll have you help me out here. Without faith, so without faith, it's impossible to please him. When he comes, Brother Josh, will he be pleased? Because he is coming. I said he's coming. He's coming. And there's going to be a day that we walk streets of gold. There's going to be a day that we see those wonderful walls of the precious gemstones. There's going to be days when we have that grand reunion. There's going to be a day when we have that wonderful table spread. Can you imagine the dinner that Christ is going to put forward for the redeemed? Filet mignon, you vegetarians, I feel so bad for you. If you think there's going to be meatloaf, sister, you better get saved. I'm excited about all those things, but I want him to come and find us faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I want him to find us faithful. I want him to find us on soul winning with faith. I want him to find us praying with faith. I want him to find us everything we're doing, biker ministry, every last one. I want him to find us with faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And when he comes, what is he going to find? In you. In me. What's he going to find? Is he going to find somebody that lacks the faith so much that he was willing to even fill out the first card? Don't beat yourself up, Brother Dave. Hey, there's nothing better to beat yourself up over. Trust him more. You're talking about money. No, I'm not. Can you understand? Listen, I was done, but I'm not. I was going to stop right there, but I'm not. I'm not. Take it. What it is, what it is. It is what it is. Everything that we mentioned, every last one of them, everything I've talked about today is all a symptom. Every last one of them, the soul winning, everything is a symptom. Everything is a symptom of what faith does. Everything that we have is what faith does. If you take this calendar and read through it, it took faith to do that. It took faith because in your flesh dwelleth. You're so smart. And you've got to realize that if you're doing something good, it took faith to get you there. If you lead somebody to Christ, it took faith for you to come. If you led somebody, if you do something right for the Lord Jesus Christ, it took you faith to get there. You got to understand something. In you dwells the measure of faith. Everybody's got it. You have the faith. When he comes, what's he going to find you doing with it? It's like the steward he gave 10 talents to and another one 5. He doesn't discern between the 10 and the 5 which one did better. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's no difference. You just took what you had, what God gave you, and let God have it back to do something wonderful with what he made you. That was my message to the kids last night. These teenagers, listen to me. Kids, God made you who you are. He didn't make you who I am. You're glad. He didn't make Michael who Colton is. He didn't make Brother Myers who I am. And he didn't make me who Brother Myers is. Why? Because he wants us to have faith in who God has made us. And let God use us, what he's given us. He may give somebody more talent than me. Boy, that's hard to believe. But understand this, no matter what he gave me, preacher, if I can mix it with faith and use it for God, God can do something wonderful. When he comes, what's he going to find? What's he going to find? Well, bless God, this guy's given so much money. I could never do that. You'll not find anywhere in the Bible where it tells you to. Huh? What did the Lord say about the lady that gave the 2 mites? Huh? Boy, that's good preaching. I didn't have any of that planned. Praise the Lord. Here we are on money again. He didn't ask you to give what Pastor Skyver gives. Did he ask that? I don't see it. What I see is him fawning over and saying how wonderful it is that a woman brought 2 mites and gave it to him. And the Lord marveled at her for her faith. Quit comparing yourselves amongst yourselves. I'm not you. You're not me. Let's serve Jesus faithfully. That sounds like a song. Is that a song? Praise the Lord. Didn't know it. We've got a wonderful opportunity in this day and age. A wonderful opportunity. People think, the Lord's coming, we'll just hold off. We'll just wait and wait and wait. No, this is the time to step on the gas, folks. Yeah. This is time to have more faith than we've ever had before. This is the time to go forward because there's so many whack jobs out there that are just tearing apart what God really wants, going down paths that they ought never to go down. I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptists. Don't think I'm hitting on the charismatic crowd. The independent fundamental Baptists are doing a job enough on their own to make the Lord displeased. And I'm going to tell you, if you get yourself into a position where you're in this book every single day, enjoying and increasing your faith, I promise you this, when the Lord comes, and he is coming, he will find us faithful. And that's what I want more than anything else in the whole wide world. If Jesus Christ comes right now, and he could, I want him to find me faithful. And that's not easy, but it's what we ought to be. When he comes, and he will come, and I'm all done. Now I'm done. Shall he find faith in Bethel Baptist Church. I say that he will. I say that he will. I say that he will. I say that in this church, he'll find faith. And that makes me excited about him coming. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for giving us an avenue to have faith. Giving us an avenue, Lord, to be close to you and talk to you. Lord, you're so wonderful. I believe one thing this church knows is that this is a room full of sinners. I believe they know that. And Lord, I believe with all my heart this is the greatest group of people on the world. And I believe if you were to come right now that you'd be well pleased. That you'd be well pleased with the people of Bethel Baptist Church in the faith. And yes, we could have more. But God, I believe you'd be well pleased. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that's the old paths. I'm thankful to be part of a church that's got the old music, the old standards, the old soul winning, the old book. Because when you come, and you are coming, I think you're going to find us faithful. And Lord, I'm so excited about that. I could use more of it. Oh God, please help me to increase my faith personally. I'm not asking for these folks above asking for myself. Lord, I need it more. Oh God, I need to have more faith. Lord, help me to do that. Help to heal my pastor. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunities to preach. Oh God, I'm just an old sinner. And I'm so thankful that you use old sinners. But Lord, we need our shepherd. We need him so badly. We need him to be healthy. And I'm not going to stop praying for him. I'm not. I won't do it. Lord, you're going to hear me every single day talk about my pastor. I want him fully recovered. So Lord, please let our people pray that. He's our shepherd. He's our difference maker, Lord God. You're the one that put him here, and I believe you're the one that's going to keep him here. So Lord God, move in the hearts of these people. Don't let him ignore the Holy Spirit. Don't let him ignore your leading. Don't let him ignore the faith that they ought to have. Oh God, let us embrace it. Let us realize just how great of a work we could do with you working through us. Lord, thank you for the faith that you've given us. Lord, please continue to increase what we have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. With every head bowed.